There was definitely something that happened to these people that was earth-shattering and completely has shaken up their lives.
If you want access to the best real ghost stories,
I think she was afraid that they were going to make her little friend go away.
Real accounts of the dead coming back to life.
She had a spirit that she had gotten very close with.
Real video and images of ghosts.
A little boy.
Then you need to be an extra podcast person, also known as an EPP. Sign up to be one for only $5 a month at ghostpodcast.com.
I stared transfixed as the mist began to gradually become more solid and translucent, and to my shock, more human in appearance.
Your support is what keeps our show on the air. For only $5, you'll have access to hundreds of EPP exclusive episodes, updated weekly, exclusive video content, and more.
Behind me in my kitchen, I hear a little girl say, "Are you my daddy? Where's my daddy?"
Keep us on the air and get access to the best ghost stories and more now at ghostpodcast.com. And thanks for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. Welcome to the show. 855-853-4802 is our phone number to call in your real ghost story 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Of course, you can also write it on our website, realghoststoriesonline.com. Or you can email us your ghost story. If you want to record that audio file, send it to Tony at realghoststoriesonline.com. Follow us on social media all over the place. It's where a lot of the conversation outside of our show goes on amongst a lot of you guys. There used to be like message boards and that sort of stuff. We've even had one for a while.
Yeah.
A couple years back. That's all really kind of been replaced with the social media. Lots of our listeners interacting, sharing their stories, kind of being that support, if you will, on some of this stuff on our Facebook page. So go ahead and check that out if you're looking for that community. It is there on Facebook, Real Ghost Stories Online, Twitter, Ghost Story Radio, Insta, Ghost Podcast, and Snapchat is a Ghost Podcast. And Snapchat is a lot of me doing freaky little videos.
Weird things.
I did one yesterday. We were at a restaurant that was near a lake, and we walked down to look at the lake, and just right on the shore, just this shoe. And it's probably someone's swimming shoe.
Yeah.
But it was kind of creepy. It was cold. Little waves were kind of washing over it, and it's just there. And I took a picture, and I said some creepy words, and that was on Snapchat the other day. Gone now, because it only like lasts on Snapchat for like a instant in seconds. Mm-hmm. So it's gone. Anyway, you can follow the madness there, too. 855-853-4802 is our phone number, by the way. Jenny Brewski right there.
Hi.
I'm Tony Brewski, and this is the show where we talk about ghosts. That's a new way of saying it.
It is.
Let's go to our first caller of the day at 855-853-4802, and let's hear a ghost story. Hi, let's hear you.
Hi, my name is Angela, and I live out of Ohio. And this is the most terrifying paranormal experience I've ever had. I highly advise ghost hunters if they're going to go to a location they do voodoo cleansing, because I was haunted and followed by a spirit from a location that I'd never been to, and let alone knew it was haunted in any way, shape, or form. This was after high school, and I was just in that time period before entering college, and it was fall, and I decided to go out for a walk with my father, and I went back in to get my jacket because it was a little bit cool out. So I went in to get my jacket. I opened the closet door. Nothing was standing there at the time. As soon as they shut the closet door, standing in front of me was a skinned person, a little person that's been skinned from their head to their waist, all the way down the bone, with a muscle and tendons hanging out, and the skull was exposed. There was blood dripping on the floor, and I was absolutely horrified. I was in shock. I felt my blood literally like turn to ice in my body. It felt like from my head down to my foot, like my blood just freezing to ice in my veins. An experience that gave me nightmares many years later. However, this person was taller than I was a male. He still had eyes in his head. And when I looked down, I noticed he had stonewashed jeans and he had bright high top, bright white high top tennis shoes, and for some reason his tennis shoes were glowing bright white. And he leaned down with his face into mine, and he started talking to me, but he was talking in my head. It wasn't audible. And he was saying things. He started talking. He said, "Man, I smoked my weight in pot in high school. I should have been like you. I should have just gone to college, and I wouldn't have died the way that I did." And I started to ask him, I said, "Well, how did you die?" He explained to me that he worked in a factory, and he was loading food trays into these conveyor belts. That was his job, that he had followed all the safety rules. He had his, you know, hair tied back. He had long hair to his waist at the time, and it was tied back in a ponytail, and he had gloves on and goggles on. He was loading the food into the conveyor belt. But he got caught. Some piece of clothing of his got caught in the conveyor belt. He was sucked in, and that's what killed him. He told me that this was his first day in the job, and that's how it went. And I asked him, because I wanted to see if he was aware of the passage of time, if he knew what year it was and everything. So I asked him, where did this take place? And he told me, he actually gave me the address and told me. And I was in shock because it had been taken over by another company. That location had been around for many years. It was a food company. It had always been a food company. Initially, it was a bread company. And then it was taken over by a large, well-known candy manufacturer. And this is in, this is located in right in downtown Marymount near Cincinnati, Ohio. And I'd pass that location to work every day. Not to work, but apologize, to school. I used to pass it on the way to school every day and come home. And he knew the name of the new company that had just taken over. And the company had just taken over that location for a month. They hadn't even been there a month before this spirit had come to me. And so I said to him, "I'm going to have to go because my dad's going to suspect something for staying here for so long and not getting out there. I'm going to go for a walk, and then I'm going to come back, and when I come back, you'll be here when I come back." So I left, and first thing when I walked out the door, my dad says to me, "You look like you've just seen a ghost," because he said I was totally white. I had absolutely no color at all. I was white as a sheet. It looked like I experienced some kind of shock, and he asked me what was wrong. I said nothing, and he went on because I knew that he wasn't going to believe me. When I came back home, he wasn't there, but I did follow up with some research on that location. I contacted the Department of Health, labor job safety and hygiene, and I was able to get records. The records for that location actually showed a death of a male in 1979, and this was the time period that people always started talking about. Man this, and also stonewashed jeans was very popular at the time, as well as high top tennis shoes. But that was their most recent death, was in 1979. And of course, men at that time also had long hair. That was not uncommon to have long hair to the waist. So I totally believe this spirit had followed me home, seen me driving by every day, was waiting for the opportunity, thinking that I was the person that he could talk to, that he could that would listen to him. And of course, he did talk to me, and I did listen to him. But I wanted to find a way to communicate to him, and of course I did pray for him that it wasn't his fault. He was blaming himself for the decisions that he made in life that put him in the circumstances that killed him, and that's why he was still there. And I wanted to let him know it was just an accident. There was nothing that he really could have done to stop it. It was just something that happened. The deaths were periodic at that location. There were many deaths at that location as a result of industrial accidents, from people getting sucked into the large machines that would process the food, and they would just roll down the conveyor belt. They get sucked into the conveyor system, and they get ripped apart. But thank you so much for listening to that story. Years later, I had nightmares. I had lots of nightmares, lots of gore and shock and horror. And then I made peace with that. I believe that person may well be in a better place by now, and I certainly hope that somebody could communicate to them that it's safe to go on. You don't have to blame yourself and spend your afterlife trying to find somebody just to listen to what you have to say. Thank you.
I think that's a really good example of even the most terrifying looking ghost
mm-hmm.
doesn't always have something bad that it's working on.
There's not ill intent there.
Yeah.
It's just, here's how I died, and I get to look that way now
mm-hmm.
in death. Well, that's some of the creepiest imagery I think we've had in a while.
Yeah.
Sucked into the conveyor belt of Skittles or something. I don't know. She mentioned candy. I don't know what candy.
Yeah.
I'm just joking around. But my goodness, that would be horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say. There was so much in there that was like, wow.
Well, she answered our questions, mm-hmm. you know, as far as did you figure out who it was or
sure.
any of that. I mean, she obviously, if she did have a name, she didn't share it,
mm-hmm.
which is fine. But I think just, you know, maybe acknowledging that this happened to this poor ghost. And
that kind of helped him
yeah.
get validation, if you will. I don't know if that's the right word, mm-hmm. but something that he needed from this side to kind of help him go on. So back in those days, and obviously today there's regulations, you know, for a lot of stuff and for good reason. Back in those days though, when you had someone that gets sucked into the machine, for lack of a better term, whatever it may be, because you said there was a lot of deaths at that location with that sort of thing happening. How cleanly do you think they were on getting those machines back up to safe mode or cleanly mode where you really can process food back through it? Today, I think it's probably a lot more in line where mm-hmm. that's, you know, no questions asked. This is going to go through a rigorous process.
Yeah.
But back then or even before then, you know, I mean, there was a lot of issues, you know, in meatpacking facilities
mm-hmm.
and all that as far as the cleanliness, the sanitary and all that went on way, way a long time ago. I wonder how often stuff like this happened and it was like, let's hose it down, you know, and then remnants of that make their way into whatever.
I think they always made their best effort.
Best effort is one thing.
Yeah.
But required for true sanitation is another.
Well, but what I mean back then, you know, as far as they could know, because there's
sure.
a lot of stuff they didn't know about.
Yeah, and what, yeah.
So when I say best effort, I mean, you know, goodwill,
mm-hmm.
good intent, trying to, you know, make sure.
Maybe not quite understanding what the microbes and everything that may still be on this machine that you can't see, what you may need to do to get this off.
Because I'm assuming
didn't exist.
Now they have all kinds of like black light testing,
sure.
bleach testing, and or not bleach testing, but you know, they have to do everything.
Sure.
We've all seen how they on TV, how they clean that stuff up. But I think back then it probably wasn't as rigorous, but I think mm-hmm. they probably, you know, did the best they could. At least I'm going to go with that and then move on.
There's horror stories out there about like the meat industry in like the 60s and about what went on in accidents and no stopping in production.
Yeah.
And I'm not anti-meat or anything. I'm just saying from stories that I know exist, and it's kind of, you want to hear horror stories.
Right.
Look up some of that. And then be glad if you are young enough, you weren't around to have some of those burgers.
Well, and, you know, quite honestly, it'd be a lot harder to hide human matter in candy.
I agree. I think that's an interesting sentence you just said there. It's probably one you never thought you'd have to to string words together like that. Mm-hmm. A lot harder to hide human matter in candy. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony and Jenny. This is Joanna. I live in the Philadelphia area in Pennsylvania. I've been listening to your show for just under a year. And I just thought I'd call in and give you a short story. It was just something that stuck with me because I've never experienced anything paranormal in my life. But I'm really into the ghost shows and, you know, hearing about other people's experiences. But so I guess just over a year ago, around just before Christmas, I was outside with my husband at our old house, and we were putting up the Christmas lights, and he was on the ladder, and I was just kind of keeping an eye on the ladder because it was an old Cape Cod, and he was going to the peak of the house to put the the lights on. It was just making me nervous, and just wanted to hold the ladder for him, make sure he didn't fall. And I was looking up in the sky. It was around dusk. The sky was kind of like that pink color it gets before the sun goes down, but it was still pretty light out. And I'm looking up at him, like just looking past his head into the sky, and I just see this ball. I don't know how else to describe it. It was not glowing. It wasn't like a light. It just looked almost like it could be smoke or something. Like, you know, it had a sort of more dense outline, and the inside was more transparent. And it just floated over his head in a straight line, like 100% straight. It didn't deviate. It didn't go in a curve, or it's not like something that could have been blown around by the wind. It just, and it went slow. Like, it probably took, I would say, a good 5 to 10 seconds for it to pass over his head. So it wasn't moving like a bird or anything like that. As a matter of fact, I looked over to my right for a second, and I saw a bird. And whatever this thing was looked like it was lower in the sky than the bird. And it looked like it could have been, like, you know, 10, 20 feet above his head. And I just watched it for a minute and, like, what is that? You know, thinking to myself, I didn't say anything to him about it. As a matter of fact, I didn't say anything to him about it for over a year. But, and I think I didn't do that because he believes in aliens and I don't. And I just thought, well, if I tell him about this, he's going to think it was a UFO or something. And eventually when I did tell him, he thought it was a UFO. But I don't believe in aliens. That's, you know, maybe a different topic for a different day. I think anything that people believe are aliens could be explained away as paranormal and something from the spiritual realm, if you will. But just wanted to tell you the story. I never told anyone else besides him, and I, like I said, I've never had anything paranormal happen to me, so I was like, this is just something I can't explain. I don't know what it was. I'm not saying it was this, that, or the other thing, but I've never seen anything like it in my life, and I just thought it was very strange. So just wanted to say thank you to you for the podcast. I have a very long commute. I drive from Reading to Philadelphia for work. It's like a 3-hour commute every day, and your guys' podcast just really helps pass the time and helps me not think about traffic. So thank you very much, and I hope to hear this on the podcast. Bye-bye.
Ghosts and ladders are never a good mix.
No, and I almost wonder if maybe it was something, some kind of entity kind of almost like, hey, I'm going to watch over him too.
Yeah.
Since he was kind of, a, you know, doing not the safest thing. I mean, hanging Christmas lights, people fall, but maybe that's what was going on.
Just an extra helping ghost hand that could swoop down if he falls and pick him up.
I don't know.
Watch, warn, alert others.
I don't know the ghost ball. I don't know that it's just going to do anything. I mean.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just envisioning this, you know, like a Patrick Swayze ghost that swoops down and catches him.
That's not at all what she described.
I know it's not at all like okay. She described, but I'm bastardizing the story to insert a Patrick Swayze reference and ghosts.
Okay.
So
you accomplished that. Let's go
on. And because we watched what was it? Red Dawn last night too. So that's where that came to mind. It was really odd where, like, he did break into the She's Like the Wind song in the middle of the Russians coming in. It was just like...
You always make fun of my action movies.
What's going on? It was a great movie. I really did enjoy it.
I'm the one that wants to watch the action movies, so...
I do, too. You come up with them. You know them because you got...
I know them because I watched them.
Because you got to watch them as a kid. I didn't. That's why I don't know half of these, is because anything beyond PG-13 was... No. You know, my cousins always saw the action movies and they would talk about, I remember the first time I saw an R-rated movie, it was Terminator 2.
Yeah.
And it was at my cousin's house. And I was just floored.
How long did you have nightmares?
It wasn't nightmares. I was floored at the swearing.
Oh.
And because I didn't swear at that time. My parents were very good about never cursing in front of me. I mean, it was my dad every once in a while, like usually if his brothers or somebody were over, you'd hear, you know, shit or something. But even then, it was pretty tame. I don't know that I had heard the F word used in context so many ways, or at all for that matter, until I watched Terminator. I think I was, I don't know, 10, right around there, maybe a little bit younger. And I don't think my aunt had any idea what was in this movie. She just like rented it for him and turned it on, or it was on HBO or something. And no clue what they were watching.
Yeah.
And then I tell my mom what we watched. She's like, "You watched what?" And my aunt is a very, you know, religious, very moral, very not swearing person at all. You know, and not that you have to be religious to be moral. I'm just saying this is, that's the type of home that it was.
Okay.
And that it's just like, oh my God. I was shocked. So there you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hey, Tony and Jenny. It's Kevin from Kentucky. It's been a while since I called in, but I was listening to your latest show and just talking about closets and kids being scared of closets and under beds, and it reminded me when my son was young, he was maybe 4 or 5, and just at the age when everything was scary, he called me one night in there and said, "Daddy, there's something in the closet." I thought, well, I'm going to break this up real quick. There was nothing at all in the closet. I went into it and beat the walls and banged around, threw myself out of the closet, and went back in, hit it a few more times, and come out and stomp my foot and said, "Now, ghost, get out of here." Of course, my son's eyes looked like two saucers, as big around as they could be. And since that time, there was never, ever anything in the closet again. He even went home and told his mom, said, "Daddy kicked the monster's butt. There's nothing in the closet anymore." Today, I don't know what I've done. I've probably been saging it and everything else, but it's kind of a funny thing I done back then. Anyway, you guys have a great show. Keep up the good work. Love listening to you guys. Talk to you later. Bye.
Do you think he could have inadvertently made whatever was in the closet also go away? Like, maybe it wasn't anything evil or negative. It was just the type of ghost that if you said, "Please stop doing this," it'll go away. And maybe that was the message that was needed. Not, "I'm going to beat you up," but just, "Oh, I'm really scaring this kid. I should not do that."
Yeah, I think maybe that's what happened, because it sounded like he told it needed to go away. And so obviously it could be that, or it could very well be just, you know, the psychological thing of a little kid where, you know, you tell them that you took care of it and you make a big production out of it, you know, and it's kind of a relief.
Sure.
So I don't know, but it could be that there might have been something that did leave.
And just because he got bullied. The ghost was bullied.
Yeah.
That shouldn't be happening.
Why not?
You shouldn't. They have feelings.
If they're going to frighten my
child,
true. It's on.
855-853-4802 is our phone number. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Tony. Hi, Jenny. This is Sandy from Washington State. Originally from Michigan, actually. So most of all these stories I'm about to tell you originated in Michigan. I have so many, so I'll probably be calling you guys multiple times. And if things continue, probably the rest of my life, God willing, you guys are still on the air. I'm sorry about the music in the background. I'm at work, and there's no way for me to turn it off. Not an EVP. So I don't even know where to begin. I'm just kind of going to go through a couple of really strange experiences that I had. One is not paranormal per se, but just kind of strange. And I don't think I'm a sensitive, and I'm not, you know, claiming to be psychic or anything. But one situation happened when I was about 9 years old, and I had a dream that the house that we were living in was, it was the middle of the night, and the house was on fire, and half the house was kind of like destroyed and burning, and the other part of the house was still intact. And I remember waking up in the middle of the night and, you know, kind of running around trying to make sure everyone's okay and getting everyone out of the house. And then last minute thinking, "Oh my gosh, what about the cat? We forgot about the cat. Let's go back inside." So, and then get the cat. And then I woke up and I thought, wow, this is a really strange dream. Didn't think anything of it, whatever. So later on that evening, my grandmother and my uncles are watching the news. And I don't really care for the news. I'm 9 years old. What do I care? So the news story comes on about a house in Florida where, like, a single engine, you know, plane, those little ones that people learn how to fly in, crashed into a house in the middle of the night. Luckily, everyone was okay, but then they realized, you know, they'd forgotten about their cat and had to go back inside, and luckily the cat was okay, too. And it was kind of so surreal sitting there listening to the story thinking, oh, my gosh, that's exactly my dream. What is going on? So I don't know what to make of that. Like I said, I'm not a sensitive, at least I don't think I am, but I do have strange situations where, and I think everyone has these because I hear people say it all the time too, where like you're thinking of someone and then that person calls you within like half a second and you're like, oh my gosh, I was just thinking about you. Or kind of knowing what someone's about to say to you before they've even said it. So, you know, just things like that. And then, you know, way more dreams than that have sort of come to fruition in one way or another. Sorry, that's my phone. Not an EVP. So one other strange situation that I had that I want to share with you guys. This one's more along the lines of paranormal. And it is a lot, it's not a long story, but I'm just trying to keep it as short as possible. So when my kids were little, my husband went out of town on a business trip, and my sister spent the night. So we had our living room turned into a makeshift, you know, playroom for the kids, which we called the toy room. And, you know, it was like my first three daughters, and the oldest was like five at the time, and the youngest was two. And the room is full of toys. I mean, they had everything. So my sister spent the night, and we were sitting there, and it was about 10 o'clock at night. And we're like, okay, we're going to go up to bed. So we go upstairs, and next thing you know, I had this Elmo toy for one of my daughters that, like, teaches them to, I'm sorry, not Elmo, Big Bird, but teaches them to spell and letters and all that other stuff. So it starts going off, and I'm thinking, oh, gosh, what is going on? It's so creepy, and, like, you know, at nighttime you're in bed, and you hear this just randomly going off. But, I mean, the room was, like, toys layered on top of toys, so it's possible something pushed it. So I went downstairs, and then I turned it off. I just switched it to off because it was left on. Went back upstairs. 10 minutes later, it starts going off again, and I'm thinking, what the heck? The first time it went off, I moved it away, not thinking logically, you know, a smart person would turn it off. I just moved it out of the corner that it was in so nothing was touching it. Went back upstairs. 10 minutes later, it starts going off again, and I'm thinking, what the heck? So go back downstairs. This time, do the smart thing and turn it off. Go back upstairs. 20 minutes later, it starts going off again, and I'm like, what is going on? So I went downstairs this time because my sister and I are both freaked out at this point. We're like, what's going on? Take the batteries out of the toy and leave it there. I'm like, there's no way it's going to go off now. So we had this one toy dog, you know, puppy that responds to commands or, you know, motion, or, and it was sitting in the corner all by itself. Nothing was around it. Nothing was touching it. You had to get really close to this thing for it to activate. So I went back upstairs, and I'm lying in bed, and I'm thinking, I'm really creeped out at this point because I'm a big chicken. And I'm thinking to myself, wow, wouldn't it be just so strange if the dog just started barking out of nowhere? Now, keep in mind, as Big Bird's going off and we're going downstairs and trying to take care of the whole Big Bird thing, the dog never activated, never went off, nothing happened. So I'm lying in bed, and sure enough, within 5 minutes, the dog starts barking. And at that point, I just locked my bedroom door and sat up in bed and kind of just waited for morning because I was so freaked out. I didn't even bother going down and taking the batteries out of the dog. I kind of just left it alone, let it bark, let it do its thing, and didn't think anything of it. But needless to say, my sister and I, neither one of us got much sleep that night. So, but those are my two stories. I do have a lot more. It seems like paranormal. That just happens. I kind of try to tune it out because I don't want to experience it. I don't know why anyone would, because some of the things are just really scary. But anyway, I love your show. I love you guys. Oh my gosh, you guys crack me up. Tony, I totally get your humor. Jenny, I love what you guys do and the rapport between you guys. You guys are awesome. Anyways, rock on. I'll talk to you guys soon.
So, you know, we've had plenty of stories where people have a dream and then they wake up to turn the news on and what they dreamt about happened. And it's kind of, it's almost like a premonition, but it's almost like they know it's happening while it's happening.
It's not like you can do much about it at that point either. My question is, what's the point?
I know.
You know, and why?
And what's the connection there? Why is she dreaming about a house in Florida that had a plane hit it?
Mm-hmm. I don't know, but that does happen. And it's very bizarre as to why or how. I mean, I get it. I mean, is it the ghost messengers that are doing their job incorrectly, or they're just being slow? Like, I was supposed to let these people know about this 2 weeks ago, but I got kind of behind the ball, and now I'm just, it's happening now. I got to tell somebody. And yeah. As I'm joking about it, that's how human beings are when they're human. People screw stuff up all the time, and they don't get the information where it needs to go in the timely manner. And then it's like just kind of thrown at the thing last minute. And then it's like, oh, it's not my fault. Yes, it is. I'm wondering if that's what happened. If it's the same sort of principle with ghosts from time to time.
It could be. I'm just still hung up on what's the connection. You know, it's not like, you know, she didn't say that she knew anybody involved in that. So it's not like I would assume an empath thing to where you feel this connection to somebody that's going through that.
I don't know.
And is it really truly a premonition if it's kind of like you're dreaming about it as it's happening? Because it's not really, I see this coming in the future. It's more so, I know this is going on even though I'm actually asleep.
Mm-hmm. I don't know the answer. That's a really tricky one to talk about. But there you go. How are the goldfish?
They're wonderful. I love goldfish.
Are they delicious?
Yes.
What about quackers?
No, I like goldfish.
Quackers. Quackers were up before goldfish. This is my knowledge of crackers kindergarten.
Okay.
Was when the big goldfish transition, it was a goldfish invasion of 88 is what I like to call it.
I don't remember the quackers, and I've tried the off goldfish.
They're not that great.
Like there's some shitty ones upstairs in the pantry that are like penguins? Whales.
Yeah.
No, they're whales.
Oh, they're whales.
And nobody will touch those.
No. After we watch Blackfish, nobody wants to.
No, the kids like, it tastes weird.
Yeah, they are kind of odd tasting. But no, I remember quackers. I remember like they, you know, give you like eight in like kindergarten snack time.
Yeah.
And then one day they changed from ducks to goldfish. I'm like, what happened? And I believe it was a brand change. I could be wrong, but I'm curious if anyone else out there remembers quackers.
I remember goldfish.
This is such a pointless topic, but we're going to get inundated with people going, oh my God, I forgot about quackers. We should start a petition to bring back quackers.
Now, if we're going to do that, we're going to bring back pizzerias.
Those were good too. Pizzerias, yeah. I remember those. They were kind of like a flakier crust of the chip too. It really did taste a lot like pizza. Mm-hmm. Pizzerias, those were good. What we should do is we should do this at, you know, not just make it like a, people use all those websites. Is it like change.org? I don't even know like where you start a petition for this to bring back bad junk food.
We can get an executive order since they're giving those out.
Suddenly today, he's ordered pizzerias to come back. Mm-hmm. Okay. Because how does this work if you go to the White House website where...
If you start a petition, at least this is how it was. I don't know if they're still doing this, but if you start a petition and it reaches like 100,000 signatures within 30 days, they have to respond in some way.
Not that they're responding to quackers or pizzerias makes any sense at all, but it would just be kind of I get a kick out of an official response.
There's been a couple of those happen just in this new presidency.
Sure. But
nothing's happening. They're not going to do anything.
I would love it to be about pizzerias.
Kellyanne Conway's going to come out and tell us they never existed. So
that's true.
Yeah,
that's true. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Wouldn't that be funny, though, if we looked back at something like the pizzerias and it was one of those things where it's like that movie, The Shazam, where people have this memory of this thing that never existed. Maybe quackers are that. I haven't ever Googled this. I'll Google it during the next call. But
okay,
it's just one of those things where it's like, I thought this was real. And nope, not at all. Hi.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to call and touch base with you. I sent in kind of looking for some advice, and Jenny said that it might be better to call so that I could get my answer sooner. My name is Amy, by the way, and I'm from Virginia. My son, since he was younger, has been having some issues with badgerines, and we have been in the house we are currently renting for almost 2 years, and since we've been here, the dreams have gotten worse. He will actually wake up in the middle of the night screaming and crying, and by the time I either get to him or he gets to me, he has fully woken up and cannot remember what happened. He doesn't know, like, he can't even tell me his dream. He doesn't, I don't know exactly what's going on. But there have actually been some nights that I've been in, and he's just sitting up crying in the bed. He's completely asleep. Go in and just lay him down, and he goes right back to sleep. He tells me that when he closes his eyes, he sees freaky things, and it keeps him from being able to sleep. A couple nights ago, he told me that he was having a hard time sleeping because while he was sleeping, he felt like something warm and thick was dropping down from the ceiling on him, but he couldn't see anything. And so that kind of worried me. On top of that, the past weekend, my daughter, she had a friend come and stay the night, and both of them witnessed a little girl with long black hair in a white dress standing in front of her closet. They both completely freaked out, left her bedroom light on, and went and made a bed in the living room and would not go back in the bedroom. I'm not sure what's going on. I do know that everyone in the house, including our six-month-old, is crankier when they're there. We can leave and have the best day ever and come home and just be in the worst of moods. But my fear is I don't know where to turn, what to do, how to get help, because I hate that it's torturing my children, in a sense, mainly my son, and preventing him from being able to sleep. So any advice that you could give me would be absolutely wonderful. Thank you.
What do you think?
I would say on something like this, and it's very difficult to say, here's exactly what you should do, and this will work, because there probably is no silver bullet here, pardon the vampire pun, but they're
it's
really...
It's werewolf.
Where is it? What's vampires? You need a silver... steak. It's a steak with a vampire, right?
Not like a steak that you eat.
No, but like a...
Yeah, and like garlic.
Okay. Lemon?
No, just garlic.
Lemon pepper? You can make a really, at least make it smell good.
Okay.
I would say consult your, if you are religious, consult your, your clergy, what your, that community that you belong to about how to make this more of a positive atmosphere in the home, because it sounds like it's something negative. It sounds like it's kind of sucking, and it's creating this atmosphere, like where she said she can have a great day, come home, and it's, suddenly everybody feels bad.
Yeah.
Sometimes with this, fighting it with positivity, with making that extra effort to try and make the level of positivity in the atmosphere higher can sometimes sink that negativity lower because it doesn't like it. It could also battle you quite a bit in that way too. But sometimes it's taking it up a notch and not just going, well, we should be okay because of this or that. Sometimes I think when these things happen, no, you got to make the extra effort to raise that level.
Yeah.
In an atmosphere. Other than that, it's very difficult to say what to do. Everybody will have different opinions of, sage or ask it to go or pray, or there's a ton of things you can certainly try, but I think a lot of it has to do with your belief system and how it's going after you and how it will function within your realm there.
Mm-hmm.
of your home. So this is something I would post if I were you up onto our Facebook page. Just make a post explaining what you just explained and see what the community says as well. But it's a matter of try a lot of things, and see what sort of results you get. because it is difficult to say here's what you need to do.
Yeah.
So you got anything else?
I think she said it's a rental, so I would start
or move.
Yeah, I would start looking for a different place.
There's a lot of people who are in situations like this who are not in a rental, who are in a home that they are in, and there's no way of getting out at that moment, and they just have to deal with it. So I think there'd be a lot of people who would look at that and go, I wish I could have found another rental somewhere else.
And I know that's so much easier said than done, especially with, you know, she's got at least three kids that she mentioned. I would still... You know, for the sake of your family and keeping your family together, because if this persists too long, you know, it can start causing relationship problems too. I would just start looking and wait out your time there and go.
I agree. And get some Quakers. I looked it up. Nabisco product of the 80s.
Okay.
It did, in fact, exist. It was quite popular. They did go out around the time Goldfish came in. Goldfish, a Pepperidge Farm.
Yes.
So different company. It wasn't like they just changed shapes.
Oh, my God. I don't know what I would have done if I didn't know that.
Shape-shifting children's snack foods.
Okay.
There you go. On the next Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. This is Brandy calling from Wapello, Iowa. I have a quick story. It wasn't anything to do with me, but it was my parents. In the 80s, my parents had a very good friend. His name was Greg. Him and a buddy, they were out driving one of his friend's truck, and it ended up dying on the railroad track. The friend got out, and Greg, being the type of guy he was, like, I can't let this truck get hit by a train. I have to get this truck off the train track. So he was trying to get it off. The train was coming. He couldn't get the truck started, couldn't get it pushed off. The other buddy was just standing there watching him, and he finally said, okay, I give up. I gotta go. And the train was pretty close. He froze in the steps. And he ended up getting hit by the train, and he ended up dying. That was the start of the story. So, after he passed away, I don't know if my parents ended up buying his normal truck, not the one that got hit by the train, but his regular truck. I don't know if they bought it or if it was given to him or what really was going on there, but it was an older 70s Ford truck, and the ignition switch was out of it. So, you had to use a screwdriver, and it was pretty simple back in those days. Use a screwdriver, turn it over, and start it up. And that's what they did anytime they needed it. Well, my mom and my aunt needed to go somewhere. My Greg always had a crush on my Aunt Jane. So I'm not really sure if that has anything to do with it. But they had somewhere to go, and they went to my mom's car, and it wouldn't start. Battery must have been dead. They all, back in the 80s, I guess my parents always had junk vehicles. But they couldn't get the car started, so mom's like, oh, we'll just take the truck. So they jumped in the truck and shoved the screwdriver in and turned it over and took off, went about their business, whatever they had to do that day. And they got back home, and my dad got home and was like, who moved my truck? And mom's like, well, we jumped in there. We had to go somewhere, and the car wouldn't start. And dad's like, well, how the hell did you start my truck? What did you do? And mom said, we screwdriver in, turn it over like always. My dad got mad. They go out and show me what you did. They went out. Put the screwdriver in. It wouldn't go in. They couldn't get it to go in. Couldn't get it to turn over. And my dad got, excuse that noise, I'm at work. My dad got really mad. He's like, you're lying to me. And my Aunt Jane said, no, Donnie, she used screwdriver like we always do. My dad's like, that's impossible. I switched the ignition switch out. I have the keys. So how the hell did you guys move my truck? Mom couldn't explain it to him or get him to calm down. But she said, sure enough, she did use that screwdriver to start that truck. So she figures that Greg, the guy that had passed away, had started that truck for them so they could get to where they needed to go that day. That's all I have for today. Thanks, guys. Bye.
I think he was going to make sure trucks and ignitions always start from now on, since that was part of the problem with the train, you know?
Yeah.
Not getting that truck started. So it's kind of like, I don't know, I kind of feel like he's going to make sure everything starts for everybody.
And he's there watching out. I think that's a pretty self-explanatory ghost story, if you will. It is what it is, literally. So thank you for sharing that one with us. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. One more story today. Hi, you are on the program.
Hey, Tony. This is... Patrick from a small town in Georgia. And I wanted to tell you all this story because it happened to me a couple years ago, and I'm 23 now, and this was my senior year in high school. And I told other people, and they don't know what to think about it. Their take on it is like I'd somehow dreaming, and I don't know. I know I wasn't, but it felt like a ghost, but it's not what my traditional idea of a ghost would be. I was sitting alone in my bedroom one night watching TV, and I was sitting on the floor at the foot of my bed, resting up against it, and I don't know what made me look over, but to my left, my window was in my peripheral vision, and as I was watching the TV, I just noticed that at nighttime there was this blob in my peripheral vision that was taking up the space in my window, and I didn't really think anything of it. I was watching TV, and I was just enjoying my night, and a couple minutes later, I think about it again, and I notice it's still in my peripheral vision, and I don't want to pay it any attention, but I decide, well, I'll just look and see what it is. And I look over, and it's this face. It's almost like how you would picture the drama masks. It was just a plain white face that was looking at me in my window. And what weirded me out about it was that I had eye contact with it for about 10 or 15 seconds. It sat there and it looked at me with this blank expression, just this hovering white mask almost that was looking at me. And everything was, you know, like that. The eyes were hollowed out. There was nothing there. It was almost transparent. And I looked at it, and after 15 seconds, I'm sitting there asking myself, what the hell am I looking at? And I grimace at it, like, who are you? What is this thing in my vision? And why? It just didn't make sense to me, and it disturbed me. And as I grimaced, the face, the mask, whatever it was, scowled at me, and it turned almost demonic, and it came up close to the window where it was fully illuminated by the light of my room. And then it just backed off into the night after I did that. And it scared me so much that I didn't know what to think about it. But the first thing I did was I ran, grabbed my dad, and told him about it. And he's like, well, I don't know what to tell you. There's nobody that could get to your window because you're on, you know, the second level of our house. And I've never been able to explain it because I guess it's a ghost or a wandering spirit, but I've never heard of something manifesting in quite that manner. And it's kind of bothered me ever since because it's not something that it's only happened once, but I've never been able to quite put a finger on what it might be. I'd like to hear you guys' thoughts. Thanks.
You know, it could just be a ghost, and that's the choice method of displaying itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we've done the show enough that I am not too surprised when we hear something a little bit unusual for how something shows up.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm not at all on the fence about whether or not it was a ghost. It was just what kind of ghost. It was a good, bad, I don't know.
Yeah, I agree. I think it's probably just the method and the way that it's showing itself. And I think sometimes we think almost too far into ghosts at times where what's the message they're trying to convey? Like, maybe nothing. Maybe they're just there.
Yeah.
Maybe this is just how, you know, it's kind of the equivalency of walking down the street and you passed another person. What's the message that person's trying to give me because they're walking on the street by me? Nothing. They're walking down the street.
Yeah. But
I think sometimes that's the case. in other cases, yes, there is messages, but I don't think every single encounter with a ghost necessarily has something attached to it.
No.
So that's something to keep in mind. Thanks for sharing your experience with us. We do greatly appreciate that. 855-853-4802, our phone number. If you like our show, help us stay on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up to become one at ghostpodcast.com. Get all the bonus episodes of the show into around like 130-ish or so up there. Plus all of the episodes that have fallen off of iTunes, those are up there too. So you count it all up, there's hundreds of episodes that are up there for your binging pleasure on ghost stories. Just some of the best stories you've ever had are what's in the EPP bonus episode. So check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.